Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour, Western shows. Later on, Frontier Town, but right now, William Boyd is Hopalong Cassidy in this episode called The Shell Game, a syndicated recording from 1950.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And now, another exciting story of the early West. The Shell Game. The hoofbeats of Hoppy's horse at the moment are ringing on the cobblestones along the waterfront of no less a place than old New York City. Longshoremen turn and stare at the unusual sight of Hoppy in California in their gala, silver-studded rodeo chaps, riding down the broad, dirty street, studying the warehouse fronts as they ride along.
Our train heads west in less than 2 hours, California. We haven't much time to be paying social calls on your old girlfriend.
Oh, doggone it, Hoppy. The address she gave me is right on this here block.
Oh, but that was 2 years ago. Maybe this business Lil inherited from her uncle folded up or moved. Sounds like shooting back among those docks.
Oh, that hash knife, Lil. She always was kind of soft on me. Oh, she was a little shy, but mighty loving that gal.
Yeah. Wait.
What is it?
There on the corner, that plate glass window. Can you read those words through the dust?
Carver Trading Company. That's it. That's Lil Carver's warehouse.
Come on. Looks like the place is closed. No, it's open.
Hey, looks like the place is empty.
No, but it's gonna be in just a minute. I'm closing up. Come back tomorrow. Great jumping bull dogs!
Hash knife, Lil.
California cows, and why you bowl like an old maverick. Great day, am I glad to see you.
Lil, you're a sight for sore eyes. You remember Hoppy.
Hi, Lil.
Do I remember Hoppy, the most famous cow wrangler in the whole dead, burned country?
Take it easy, Lil. When it comes to fame, they still talk about you and Mescalero.
Yeah, them sourdough flapjacks you used to make at One-Eye Joe's hash house. And that tripes, too, oh boy.
The boys all felt that a woman like you should get her face on paper money like a president.
My face? A woman like me would rather get her hands on it.
From the looks of all this stuff you got piled up around here, you ain't doing too bad.
It's a living. But there have been times I'd have traded it all for just one evening's walking hand in hand with you under that Texas moon, honey boy.
Oh, Leo.
Come here, California. You ain't kissed me yet.
Now, wait, Lil. Take it easy. Wait a minute.
Sounds like that kiss came complete with fireworks.
Come on, straighten up, honey boy. Stop buckling at the knees. That was just a sample. Now, if I really kissed
her... No, give me time, Lil. I ain't caught my breath.
I didn't know folks were so free with their gunplay in New York, Lil.
They ain't. It must be cops after one of them waterfront gangs. Oh, well, like I always say, the only reason folks don't mind their business... is they having any mind or are they having any business? Let's get back to my office and set. I already sent my help home. We'll be able to chew the fat without the usual racket. I'd better phone Fu Chow and tell him to set a couple extra places for supper tonight.
That's mighty nice of you, but we're leaving in less than 2 hours. Our train is...
Oh, what?
We've been with the Great West Rodeo at Madison Square Garden.
Show closed today.
Great day. Why doesn't somebody tell me these things?
Well, we would have called on you before, but
get away from that pepper. Oh, watch it, California, honey. I just ground up a sample from this 100-weight of black pepper.
Boy, you sell that stuff, too?
Well, I buy and sell just about everything, honey boy.
From the looks of the stuff you got piled up here, I can believe it.
This pepper just arrived from Shanghai aboard the freighter Diomede. Hold out your hand, Hoppy, and I'll pour you a sample. I want you to smell what real pepper's like.
Now, wait a minute, wait. You don't have to pour that whole sack into my hand.
There. You can tell it's fresh, by the way.
Watch it, California, watch it.
My nose ain't the same since I once had it broken in two places.
You should keep it out of those places.
I always say a nose should be seen and not heard.
I'll move back a bit.
Stand where you are.
Where did you come from? Put down that
Don't
gun.
Move. Don't move or I'll shoot.
A couple of hours before they're due to catch a train out of New York, heading back west with their rodeo show, Hoppy and California visit one of California's old girlfriends, Hash Knife Lil Carver, who now runs a warehouse on the waterfront. While showing Hoppy a sample of a new shipment of pepper, they're held up by a skinny little gunman with an English accent. He orders Lil into a storeroom.
Get inside, quick.
Do as he says, Lil.
Keep your hands up, you.
You touch that lady, a yellow coyote, and
Shut I'll... up, California. Easy with that gun, mister. The way you're shaking, it's liable to go off.
I'm going to follow that woman into that room. If the police come, send him away. If I hear him coming toward the door, I'll kill your fat lady friend.
Why, you
Hey,
son.
None of that, so help me, I... Yeah. All right. I'm going to cross over to that room. I want you two blithers to look natural-like when the bobbies gets here. Lower your hands. Wait! What you got in that end?
Well, nothing but a handful of pepper.
Oh, my eyes!
He's blinded!
Get him!
Oh, good work, Hoppy!
Hoppy, your head, that blood!
Lil, let go of me. He's getting up. California, grab him. Come on.
We'll get him.
Wait, stop. The police, hold it, California.
Yeah.
He's running into a police trap.
I know. Look, he's heading toward those docks. They're going to shoot.
Well, we got him.
Yeah, look, he's all over there.
What happened? Hoppy, California. Where is he? Where's that polecat?
Lying over there by the docks, Leo. The police just shot him dead. California sure taking a long time talking to that police sergeant out front.
Hold still. I gotta get this bandage fastened.
My ribs were only grazed, Lil, not ventilated. You're wrapping me up like a mummy.
Oh, here comes Honey Boy now.
California, did you find out who that gunman was?
That there police feller said he was a smuggler.
Smuggler?
Yep, name of English Eddie. The police at Hong Kong cabled the New York lawmen to be on the lookout for him. He was stowing away on some freighter, they thought, and sure enough, they find him on this here ship, the Diomede.
The Diomede?
Yep, but he give him a slip. That is, until he run into us.
Well, what was he smuggling?
I don't know. The police sergeant said something about him running a thing called the Duke Export Company in Hong Kong.
What?
Yeah, but seems that was just a blind. He disappeared from Hong Kong, and, well, you know the rest of it.
What's the matter, Lil?
Well, nothing, Hoppy, except that I was planning to bid on a shipment of stuff tomorrow morning that was putting up at auction for freight charges. A shipment of abalone shells sent by the Duke Export Company of Hong Kong.
That's mighty interesting. Who were they shipped to?
Well, some hombre who never even showed up. Name of Simon Turner.
Baloney shells?
Abalone. You're such an ignorant baboon, honey boy. If I can get them cheap enough, I can make a profit on them. Button factories use them.
Well, what would a smuggler be doing shipping in baloney shells?
Let the police worry about that. We'll be aboard that train heading back home in just 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, I got news for you, Hoppy.
What?
That police sergeant says we got up here at the investigation over at headquarters tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh, what are you worrying about? I can put you both up at my place. I got plenty of room.
Of
course, I was sorry we had to miss our train yesterday, Lil, but after tasting these flapjacks, I'd say it was worth it. This is the best breakfast since we hit New York.
You just said a mouthful, Harvey. I sure hate to leave.
Better write down the address of the apartment here in California so you can write Lil direct when you get back to Bar 20.
Yeah. Good idea.
Got a pencil?
Yeah. Right here in my pocket. That's funny. Oh, shucks.
What is it, honey boy?
Oh, these cartridges I took from that hombre's gun yesterday. Yeah. I forgot to give them to the police when we give them the gun.
Well, I reckon Lil can take care of that.
Be glad to, Hoppy.
I'll gather them off the table here for you. They...
What's the matter?
Nothing especially, just this cartridge. It's light. I don't think there's any powder in it. The lid is loose, too. I think... Yeah, I can pull it out with my fingers. Look, it is empty.
Yeah?
Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, Hoppy?
There's something inside the case, a rolled up piece of paper.
Okay, can you get it out?
Just a minute. There.
Why would that buzzard load his gun with a dummy cartridge?
Probably got it mixed up with his regular ammunition. There's writing on this bit of paper.
Yeah, I see. What does it say, Hoppy? Can't make it out.
Just three words. Black cat, Salem.
What in tarnation?
I don't know. Well, let the police worry about it. Here, Lil, you take it. Give it to them, will you?
Sure thing, Hoppy. Oh, great jumping bullfrogs, look at that clock. I gotta get down to the pier. That auction starts in 20 minutes. Say, you two got nothing to do till train time. Why don't you come on down with me to the auction?
Gee, that's a rip-snorting idea.
Be glad to go with you, Lil.
Lot 1621. 2.5 tons of fine oriental abalone shell with high mother of pearl content. All right, folks, who'll open up? 2.5 tons of
$10?
$10.
$50.
$50. Why, a fraction of their shipping cost. Come, folks.
Looks like that fat old hombre in the yachting suit wants them too, Lil.
Do I hear $60?
$60.
That's telling them.
$60 I hear.
$100.
$100. The gentleman said $100.
What's that old goat want him for? $150.
I hear $150.
$200.
They ain't worth it. $250.
That'll stop them.
The lady with the green ostrich feather in her hat says $250. Going.
$300.
$350 and they ain't worth it.
Easy, Lil.
$400.
$500.
Lil, no.
He can't lick us.
$500. Do I hear more?
Will you accept my check?
Sorry, mister. The rules call for spot cash. The bid is $500 cash. Going. Sold to the lady with the green ostrich feather for $500.
It sure was sweet of you in California to help me load all them shells and store them away here in the warehouse, Hoppy. That was some job.
We were glad to do it.
Hey, there's a big wagon pulled up in front. And guess who's getting off? With two tough-looking hombres.
We haven't got time for guessing games, California. Our train leaves in an hour. We better collect their guns.
It's Fat Boy.
What?
That dude in the sailor's sombrero who rode again you in the auction. He's coming in.
Good afternoon. I was hoping I'd get you in before you closed for the day.
Well, we're just about to.
I see. I suppose you've been busy examining those high-priced abalone shells, eh? You think they're worth it?
I don't know. We haven't opened the crates yet.
You haven't, eh? Mrs. Carver, I'm Dr. Sidney Trotter of the Trotter Laboratories. This is my assistant, Willie. Frankly, I was quite bewildered as to why you should be willing to pay so fantastic a sum for those shells.
You seem to be willing to pay even more.
Ah, but my dear sir, for me they have a remarkable value. The unique balance of calcium carbonate in the South China Sea abalone shell gives it a great advantage for certain medicinal experiments being conducted by my laboratory.
So?
Mrs. Carver, I'll pay you $600 cash for those shells.
So?
Good. My wagon is outside and my men are waiting. Willie? You and Oscar?
Pull up there, Doctor. We just spent the whole darn day storing the stuff away. Now, These boys gotta catch a train. Won't tomorrow do?
I'm afraid not. My experiments cannot wait. Besides, my men can handle it by themselves. They don't need any help from your assistance.
Well, the point is, my friend, I'm closing up, and tomorrow'll have to do.
You distress me, madam. Willie, they refuse to make delivery.
Maybe this changes their mind.
With a gun like that looking me in the face, I could change anything, except my opinion of you, Willie.
Keep your opinions. All we want are the shells. All right. Into that back office, gentlemen. And, shall I say, lady?
Hoppy, California, and Lil are held up by a so-called Dr. Sidney Trotter. After tying the three of them up in Lil's office, Trotter and his two thugs take Lil's crates of abalone shells and drive away. Darkness has fallen as Hoppy finally gnaws through the rope around Lil's wrists, enabling her to reach for some shears on her desk and cut them loose.
There. Okay, Hoppy.
Thanks. Where are our guns?
On top of that cabinet. Hold down that six gun off the wall while you're about it. There. Get up, California.
You bet.
Here. What do you want with a gun, Lil?
I'm going after those road agents. That's what I want with a gun.
Now, hold on.
But you ain't got no horse.
I got a whole darn stable full of horses. And if they can haul dray wagons and beer trucks, I reckon they won't have any trouble toting Lil Carver Bear back. Let's go.
Hoppy, what about our train?
We missed it an hour ago.
Doggone them horse-grown streetcars. Out of the way.
Take it easy, Lil. Let's use our heads. Pull up here. We'll never get anywhere riding around the night like this. We've lost them.
Dad, Bernard, Hoppy, I'll catch them wall-eyed coyotes if it's the last thing I ever do.
Let's find the shipping office that put on that auction this afternoon. Maybe the auctioneer knows our fat friend, Dr. Trotter.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go. Did you find that auctioneer in the shipping office?
Yeah, he says he never saw Trotter before and doesn't know who he is. Lil, I've been thinking. Those shells were shipped by the Duke Export Company. In other words, by English Eddie, who stowed away on the same ship with him. He addressed them to some hombre who apparently doesn't even exist, named Simon Turner.
Now, why would English Eddie want to fool with a mess of abalone shells?
Could be the captain of the Diomede might give us a clue.
Captain of the who?
The ship that brought those shells over from China. The fellow at the shipping office said the captain is living aboard while she's in port. Come on, Topper. Mighty nice of you to go to all this trouble, Captain, taking us down the ship's hold.
I'm glad to be of any assistance, Mr. Cassidy.
Is this where you found English Eddie hiding out?
Yes'm. Him on crates of shells and other cargo. He got away from my men when we first discovered him after arriving in New York. Left in such a hurry, he forgot to take his coat. Funny thing, filled his pockets with abalone shells.
Oh? What happened to him, those shells in his pockets?
Oh, I tossed them back into the crates. He'd opened a number of crates, and the shells were scattered everywhere.
What'd he do that for?
Search me. Probably never would have been caught if he hadn't come back to the ship the day after we docked and tried to get back down in the hold. Don't ask me why. Police had been alerted by then, of course, and, well, you know the rest of it.
Yeah. I see your men didn't quite clean up all those shells off the floor.
Where?
Over there. What's under those pipes of the wall near the floor?
Well, it looks like there's a couple of dozen jammed under there.
Let's have a look. I'd like to examine a few of those shells.
Hey, sure are big, ain't they?
Yeah. A lot heavier than they ought to be. Look here, Lil.
What?
Under here, where the edge of the shell curves inward.
Say, looks like it's been filled with some kind of cement.
Exactly. Captain, if you don't mind, have you got a little hammer I could borrow?
Dog Doggone it, Hoppy. That ship's captain has already notified the police, so why are we still galloping through the night?
And if those polecats are going to be caught, we got to catch them while the trail's still hot.
Oh, what trail?
You remember that piece of paper we found in that empty cartridge case from English Eddie's gun?
Yeah, it said Black Cat Salem.
Couldn't that be the name of a ship? The Black Cat out of Salem?
Hoppy, in my business, I know just about every ship that ever comes in and out of New York. And there ain't no Black Cat.
Well, it could be a smaller vessel. Well,
most of the small fry dock over on the Sound or over on Sheepshead Bay off Brooklyn.
Well, why the...
Wait a minute. I just thought of something. There's a street, a Salem Street, in Brooklyn running right down to Sheepshead Bay with a pier at that end.
Well, come on. Let's give it a whirl.
Well, this is it. Salem Street Pier and nary a boat in sight.
Hold it. Over there in the moonlight. Fat boy's wagon.
It sure is. But there ain't nothing in it. Where do you suppose they took them shells?
Wherever they took the boat.
Well, what boat?
Take a look at that sign on that post. You can read it right well in this bright moonlight.
Yeah, Black Cat. Daily fishing parties. Captain Willie Alvig. Willie!
That big baboon who was with Trotter.
That sea's like glass. You can still see the wake their boat left when they sailed out of here. We can follow it like a trail.
Hey, there's some lights over there, a boathouse. We could rent us a boat.
Yeah, I think we'll catch them yet. Come on. This wake we're following is getting brighter and heavier. It won't be long now.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, my stomach's beginning to back up and turn around.
Try to hold out, California.
I aim to climb aboard, Hoppy.
We'll run this thing close under her stern. California and I'll grab the lifeboat and climb aboard.
Well, what about me? I'll be missing out on all the fun.
You go back and call the police. I want to turn those hombres over to somebody when we bring them back.
Hey, am I seeing things or are them lights ahead?
Yeah, it's their boat all right, dead ahead, that Black Cat.
Confound it, Willie. There must have been another crate.
But, Mr. Trotter, you yourself point them out to us. We take every crate you say. Maybe English Eddie make a mistake.
Impossible. English Eddie never made those kind of mistakes. Would he write me he was enclosing diamonds in 20 shells and then send only 5?
But do not blame me. I told you to put in a claim for the shipment before it was auctioned off.
Oh, you incredible blockhead. I should tell him, I suppose, that Eddie Duke and I did business together. With him wanted by the police of 3 continents. That's all I had to do to put us all behind bars.
But I tell you...
Oh, shut up. Either you lost a crate off the wagon or... Or our enterprising lady friend, Mrs. Carver, lied when she said she hadn't opened those crates.
That is it. She lied. She took those shells.
Perhaps. Well, ask her to turn back. I'm afraid we'll have to pay Mrs. Carver another visit, Willie. Tonight.
Can I spare you the trouble?
Oh, you!
Steady, Willie. Don't try reaching for that shooting iron.
Oh.
You too, Dr. Trotter.
How did you get aboard?
Does it matter? Nice little assortment of diamonds you have there on the table. Quite a mess of broken shells, I noticed. I have a few diamonds myself to match yours, Doctor. In fact, a whole pocketful. Here. Are these what you're looking for?
Well, you did find them.
With the cooperation of the late English Eddie Duke. You see, he laid them aside in the hold of the Diomede for his own use in America.
Scoundrel.
Only it wasn't America he ended up in, but in another place where he doesn't need his diamonds. And neither will you, gentlemen, where you're going. Tell you, California, there's nothing like stretching out in the hay in an old-fashioned horse car heading back to God's country.
Except maybe the way you make trouble pay off.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, look at the trains we missed and getting ourselves nearly shot and drowned and half dead of seasickness. And in the end, what happens? The government pays us a hatful of money for our half of the fine they slapped on them smugglers.
Well, it isn't that I go around looking for trouble. Wish I had a chance to shed it all at once. Like you.
Like me? What are you talking about?
Lil. She's mighty sweet on you. If you'd have stayed behind and married her, your troubles would have been over for life.
Oh, I just reckon I ain't a marrying man, Hoppy. No, sir, marriage ain't for California Carlson.
Ah, marriage is a great institution.
Well, if it's so great, why ain't you ever married?
Well, California, I'll tell you.
Hmm?
It just doesn't seem to me I'm ready for an institution.
Oh, you ain't? Oh, shucks!
Goodbye from Hoppy in California. We'll be back soon, and of course we hope you'll be with us. Hop Along Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. The Shell Game was written by Irvin Ashkenazy. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
Hop Along Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated broadcast from 1950. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now on to Frontier Town, a syndicated recording from a show that was released in 1952 and 1953. The distinctive voice of Jeff Chandler in most of the broadcasts, though he was replaced by Western movie actor Reed Hadley, of which we'll hear a broadcast of next from October 1st, 1949, the 31st program in the series.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Calgary, Tombstone. Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town!
Howdy there. In case you've forgotten or never did know, I'm Chad Remington, frontier lawyer from the cow town known as Dos Rios. And as I've said a time or two before, out on the brawling, sprawling frontier, a lawyer gets into all sorts of things, especially trouble. And trouble out our way not only starts with a capital T, but often ends with capital punishment. I guess it was last month that an old friend of my father's, Harvey Burnside, wrote and asked me if I had time to come down to where he lives, a town which he had built himself from practically nothing, a town named Burnside Falls. Harvey has a brother, Milo Burnside, who owns the little bank in Burnside, and between them, I guess Harvey and Milo pretty well control that section of the country. Well, while Cherokee O'Bannon, the former medicine man who now runs the Dos Rios livery stable and bangs around with me, was trying to find two horses from his stable that would take us to Burnside Falls and back, the situation which caused Harvey to write me suddenly started getting worse. So much worse that Harvey paid a call on his brother Milo at the bank.
Milo, let's quit mincing words now. Let's get down to cases.
All right, Harvey, let's. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been hearing things about you, Milo. Things I don't like to hear about any man, let alone my brother.
Oh, man. You don't say.
I heard you've been over to War Dance last week.
And what if I have? War Dance is a mighty nice and bustling little town. Harvey, it's high time you were getting some sense through your head. When the railroad agreed to build its western terminal into whichever town the voters choose as the county seat of Buckshot County, nobody figured a dreamer like you would build a town out here, right in the middle of the prairie.
Prairie, my eye. Burnside Falls lies between three trails and two rivers. The best dad-blamed place in the whole state for a county seat.
That's what I thought once.
You mean you changed your mind since old man McCall put some of his Jerkwater Railroad's money on deposit in your bank? Money. That's all you ever think of.
Well, you'd be a lot better off if you did sometimes. Ah, Harvey, stop being blind. That new town of War Dance is a good 80 miles closer to where the rails now end.
and it'd make an ideal county seat.
Boy, Dance, what is it? Nothing but a hideout for a bunch of owl hoots like Cap Kilmore and his gang. Sure, McCall and the railroad would like that. Building into War Dance would save them a couple of $100,000 because it's closer. But they got their franchise on the strength of connecting up to whatever town the people select.
Oh, the people, my neck. Now look, Harvey. It's worth good cold cash to me. And I'll see you won't lose. If you help me convince the people that War Dance and not Burnside Falls should be voted the county seat next week.
Yeah? They'll vote just how they please. And you, your bank, or that railroad's not going to interfere.
Why, you pig-headed old fool. If you weren't my brother, I'd tell you to go for your gun.
And if you keep trying to interfere, you may still have your chance, brother or no brother. And if you don't lay off, Milo, I may go for my gun first.
Well, that was the situation when O'Bannon and I arrived in Burnside Falls. A wide-open split between Harvey and Milo Burnside. But being brothers, Harvey was reluctant, more than reluctant, to make a public issue of what he believed and knew. And his wife, Sarah, hoped that somehow I might be able to talk sense into his money-grubbing brother's head.
And that's about the whole story, Chad. The railroad can save upwards of $200,000 building into War Dance instead of here. And that's why the railroad can afford to offer Milo money to try and throw the election to War Dance.
Well, I'm reluctant to say this, but your brother sounds to me like a nefarious little nickel nurser.
Yes, that's the way it looks. And I'd bet Milo would sell the railroad out even now if anyone offered him $5 more.
How does he figure to swing the election?
Figure to swing it? Why, he's swinging it right now. People are actually pulling up stakes here and moving to War Dance already.
Yeah, and enough of them move, I suppose they'll have a majority of the votes.
Well, folks, I don't know what good it's going to do, but come on. Let's ride into town and pay a call on Brother Milo.
This little town of Burnside Falls looks quite prosperous. We've already passed 7 stores, 2 saloons,
Oh, Bannon, I don't mind your admiring the saloons from the outside. But this trip, you're not pouring what they peddle down your insides. Say, where's this bank your brother's located, Harvey?
Just down at the end of this block, Chad, that gray and white building.
Good grief, do you see what's happening? The bank's being held up.
There go the dirty buzzards who held up the bank, hitting their horses and hightailing it out of town.
Come on, boys, even with the head start they've got, we may still be able to overtake them.
Get up there, you! Get running!
Well, I was wrong. The excitement brought everybody in town out into the street. And by the time we'd threaded our way through the crowd, the bank bandits were out of town and into the hills. The trail ended in the rocks. We all turned our horses and piled back into town, back to the bank itself to find out what had actually happened.
Boys, 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 now, if you'll only quiet down, maybe we can all hear what Milo has to say.
Now, neighbors, I hate to tell you this, and if you'd have caught the men who rifled the bank, the story would be different. But the way they cleaned me out to keep up my legal cash reserves now, I'm forced to declare all loans due and payable immediately. Now, men. Men, I'm sorry. And as sorry as I am, the law's the law. And to tell the truth, as soon as I've got things straightened out here, I'm closing up and trying to make back what I've lost by moving my bank over to War Dance.
You don't mean there's some connection between the bank robbery and your moving to War Dance, do you, Burnside?
That's the kind of idea it would be healthier never to put into words again, Remington.
Oh, so? Well, I've heard of men being railroaded to jail before, but this is the first time I've ever heard of a railroad being the cause of moving a whole bank and its president up to the federal penitentiary.
Burnside, after all I've been through today, you don't happen to have a little drop in the house, do you?
Well, if you're as weak as all that, Cherokee, we'll go to the drugstore and get you some smelling salts. Besides, right now, none of us has got anything to celebrate. Milo's little bank robbery was too successful.
You mean to think that Milo arranged the robbery?
Oh, I ain't denying that Milo's ornery, Chad. But, well, I can't believe Harvey's brother would frame a robbery on his own bank.
Well, maybe not, Sarah. But Harvey did say that this other town, Wardance, is the hideout of a lot of owl hoots.
And you blamed right. Fellas like Cap Kilmore moved in there.
And the question is, how come and why did Kilmore move down here from his own stamping grounds, the Dakotas?
Well, I don't know anything about that, Chad, but Kilmore showed up in these parts about 3 months back.
3 months ago, huh? And when did you first hear about this railroad thing and their anxiety to make Wardance the county seat?
Well, let's see. Well, it seems to me that was about, that was 3 months ago, too.
Now, do you think there's a connection between the railroad and Cap Kilmore, Chad?
Well, I don't know for sure, but there certainly could be. The railroad starts working on Milo, deposits money in his bank, and Milo writes a letter and hires himself a handyman like Cap Kilmore.
Chad, do you honestly think Milo'd go out and hire a crook and drive folks over to Wardance?
Blamed if I know. But it certainly makes a reasonable supposition. And with the election only a few days off, all we can do before we're sure is sit back and wait. Wait for action.
If you're still in Burnside this time tomorrow, you and your old family will stay at Burnside.
You're not driving me from my home?
Yeah. Well, then maybe someone will dig you a new home. They won't move, huh? Well, we'll move them like that fuse.
Chad, I know my husband brought you down here to help us. But we just can't go on this way. We can't go on just sitting around while these gun-toters blow Burnside Falls apart.
Now, Sarah, it ain't Chad's fault, you know.
Well, maybe it isn't. But it was Chad who said sit back and see what happened. And look what's happened. Folks shot down, places burned up, and almost half the people over here picking up and moving to Wardance to save their lives.
My dear Mrs. Burnside, even though I used to sell a medicine which was a miracle, it's going to take more than a miracle to stop this lawlessness as quickly as you'd like.
Yes, but you don't understand. Folks are moving away from here, a dozen families a day.
Just like sheep, that's what they are. And the blackest sheep of the lot is that no-good brother of mine, Milo.
It isn't all right even saying things like that, Harvey. Even though saying and proving in Milo's case are as far apart as Pike's Peak and Death Valley.
Prove? How can you prove anything on a gang of cutthroats like that? Thousands upon thousands of dollars behind them just to buy votes and bullets.
And that's just the frame of mind they want you and other folks around here to stay in, Sarah. They want you scared to death. They want you to give up before you're licked. Don't you see that's winning half the battle for them?
Well,
they're not only making this a war, they're making this a war of nerves.
Well, they've got my nerves so frazzled that I'm even willing to take a drink of my Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil. There's nothing else handy around the house, of course.
Cherokee, the only thing around this house is trouble. If Wardance is made the county seat, Harvey and Sarah Burnside will have lost everything they've worked years to build up. And the people of this section will be saddled with a rain of crime and corruption that'll make Custer's last stand look like a Sunday school picnic.
Now, that's what I mean, Chad. You've got to do something.
And we will do something, Sarah, if we can ever figure out something to do. Believe me, I haven't come down here to console you. I've come down to help. I'm not going to sit by and see this county referred to in the history books later on as another Gun Trouble Valley. Might as well admit it. All that high-sounding talk I gave Sarah and Harvey Burnside was really just whistling in the dark. A little pep talk to keep up their confidence. It wasn't until later that afternoon, while Cherokee and I were jogging back toward Burnside Falls, that any idea hit me at all.
Billy Blue Blazes, Chad, this whole situation is thoroughly sordid.
It sure is, Cherokee. A man not only turning against his own brother, but all of his neighbors and friends.
Normal man might suffer from a thirst, like me. Normal thirst.
Of course you mean thirst, as in thirst for knowledge.
Well, knowledge is what gives me my thirst. My brain is so full of knowledge, it requires considerable lubrication.
Well, I'm glad to learn that, Cherokee. Because next time your thirst overtakes you, I'll just stake you to 3 rounds of axle grease.
Well, even axle grease is better than water. However, referring to Milo Burnside's thirst, his is an unnatural thirst. A thirst for gold.
And just about as unquenchable as the average... Cherokee, whether you know it or not, you've just given me an idea.
Well, if it has anything to do with axle grease, I don't want to hear about it.
Far from it. This has got something to do with gold. And I hope the solution to making Burnside Falls the county seat at the election.
Gold? What has gold got to do with it?
Well, if we can get about 3 ounces of gold dust and tailings, it may have everything to do with it. Come on, Cherokee. You and I are going to the Lion's Den. We're riding over to War Dance. While Cherokee and I were prodding those livery stable nags across the county over to War Dance, Milo Burnside apparently reached there ahead of us as the result of a summons from Cap Kilmore.
If you think because you're the president of a 2-bit bank, Burnside, you can give me orders, you got a few things coming.
Yes? You might as well understand this here now, Kilmore. I hired you and you're working for me.
Yeah? Well, I ain't working for nobody. McCall's railroad is footing the bill, and you and me, well, we're just partners. And the way I'm starting to feel now, I might be happier if I didn't have any partners at all.
You can't threaten me. I promised the railroad we'd move 1,000 people away from Burnside and over here to War Dance. And if you can't live up to your obligation, I'll get somebody else to do it.
Why, you fat-headed buzzard. You're a bigger crook than I am. Double-cross your own brother, rob your own bank, and then move over here like a rat leaving a sinking ship.
Why, you cheap murderant!
I was just hoping you'd do that.
My throat! You're choking me! Don't, Cap, don't!
I got a good mind to bang your head through the floor. You gonna behave?
Yes.
And we're in this deal as partners?
Yes, Cap. Anything you say.
Go on, get up. And remember, next time you think you're giving me orders, you'll find it's me who's doing the ordering. Ordering you a $10 funeral.
Two high-grade gentlemen, those two. Either one of them would happily arrange to murder a man for a silver dollar. But of course, it was this love of money that not only was the basis of the whole trouble, but also what I hoped would be the solution for Harvey Burnside and Sarah. Cherokee and I were talking it over as our horses slowed up and we hit War Dance's rutted and dirty main street.
Suppose you realize you're asking me to risk my life by coming over to a town like this, Chad.
Why, War Dance is the perfect town for you, Cherokee. It's wide open and lawless.
That's what I mean.
And being lawless, there's no law here. So there shouldn't be anyone looking for you for peddling that alcohol and water you used to describe as genuine Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil.
Yes, I see what you mean. Yes, indeed. With that poke of gold dust stuck in your pocket, somebody's sure to spot it and try to get it away from you. If they do, that means trouble.
Well, I hope somebody spots the gold dust.
You hope? Confound you anyhow, Chad. Just what are you up to?
Well, according to you, I'm up to my neck in trouble. But if you want to know exactly what I plan to do to get the voters back to Burnside, all I can tell you is that I'm only certain of the first move. I'm going to locate Mr. Cap Kilmore and start from there.
Locate him? Where do you think you can find him?
Well, the first place I'm going to look is down the street there in that saloon.
In that saloon? Chad, my boy, you're a man of rare perspicacity. Lead the way, my friend, and depend on old Banner to follow.
Now, Buck, give me another drink. This time, leave the bottle on the bar.
Pardon me, you Mr. Kilmore?
Yeah. Who are you?
My name's Foley, Mr. Kilmore. Fellow over there said you wanted to talk to me.
Oh, yeah. You're one of the folks who moved over here from Burnside Falls, aren't
That's
you?
That's right. That is, I ain't sure I'm staying here.
I see. Well, maybe I can convince you that you ought to stay here a while. At least until tomorrow when we're holding the election for the county seat.
I don't see what you mean, sir.
Well, us folks over here in War Dance have got a lot of pride in our community.
Yeah?
And if you will stay here for the election and cast your vote for the best interest of the county, we'd be mighty happy to show you our appreciation.
Well, that sounds interesting, Mr. Kilmore.
You see, the law's funny. It says for a man to vote, he's got to own land.
Yeah.
So I figured maybe we'd just give you a quarter section of land and... How does that sound, huh?
Well, that ain't much of an attraction. The land I seen since I got over here is so dry, a man couldn't raise gophers on it.
Well, since that's the way you feel about it, we might buy the land back from you for $50 the day after the election.
Oh, I see. Fellas got to own land to vote. Then after the election... You're a smart one, Cap. You sure are.
And you'd better make sure you're smart, too, Foley. Because I'm making it my business to get the name of every man who votes, and whether he votes for Burnside Falls or Warden.
Yeah.
I think you get the idea, Foley. I'll see you later.
Sure thing. I'll be looking for you the day after election. Hey, bartender, I'll have a beer.
Well, Cherokee, this is one time I'm going to buy you a drink. May we squeeze in here, mister?
Yeah, you bet.
Give me two fingers, no chaser.
Be careful with those fingers, Cherokee. Don't chew them down past the nails.
You fellas here to vote?
No, far from it. I'm over here because of that crooked election Kilmore's trying to run on the people.
Of course, it ain't none of my business, but I wouldn't say things like that too loud.
Why? Has Kilmore got you bluffed, too?
Oh. You're in for it now. Here's Kilmore coming back to the bar right now.
No, sir, Kilmore don't scare me. I still think he's running a crooked election.
What did you say, mister? What's that again?
I said this whole election smells rotten to me. Or maybe you don't think so.
The only thing I think is that your mouth needs closing. What's your name?
What difference does my name make?
Well, we got to put something on the headstone.
Chad, take it easy.
Now, look, if you think you're threatening me, you're not even getting close to it. Because I think you haven't got enough salt in your whole system to do anything about it. Not while I'm standing in front of you.
Chad, you're loco.
Remember I told you your mouth needed closing?
Well...
Saffron, Tomcats Kilmore. You darn near knocked his head right off his shoulders, you did.
All right, you. Now, get up off there.
Cap. Cap, what's that? That little leather pouch that rolled out of his pocket on the floor.
Huh? What pouch?
This pouch, right here. And look. Look, it's full of gold dust.
Gold dust?
Yes, gold dust.
Wait a minute. Give me that back. Huh? That gold dust is mine.
Where'd you get this stuff? Well, I'm not waiting. Where'd you get that gold dust?
Sure would never tell you if you didn't have me covered. But, well, I got it out of the bank on Wolf Creek over in Burnside Falls.
Gold! Come on, men, if there's gold there, we better be getting back to Burnside Falls.
Don't! You fools, come back! Don't you see it's a trick? Come on!
Well, you're smarter than I gave you credit for, Kilmore. It was a trick. Yeah, a trick that was just good enough to spoil your plan for a cooked-up election.
Yeah, and by the time they find it out, the election will be over, Burnside Falls will be the county seat...
And you'll be in jail.
Why, you dirty double-dealer...
Cherokee Duck!
Now, let's see what you can do without your gun.
No.
Look out! Chad. The way you're hitting him, he's going to fall against the bar and upset those beautiful bottles. Oh! Now, that's the first time I've ever seen a man knocked out, the stimulants applied simultaneously. Look at him. He's just bathed in bourbon.
Yes. But unfortunately, the bourbon's not going to wash away his sins. But I think by the time a few of the people admit on the stand to the bribes Kilmore offered them, that the state will wipe away his sins, although it may take 20 years.
Chad, as an attorney at law, you certainly violate more laws than you learned about in school.
Oh, I don't know about that, Cherokee. The only law I was dealing with in War Dance was the law of human nature. As you pointed out earlier and gave me the idea, it was just their thirst for gold which dumped Mr. Kilmore's apple cart.
Strange you should mention thirst and apple carts in the same breath. Because as a callow youth, one of my dearest delights was imbibing of hard cider. An excellent libation, but I no longer like apples.
You mean you're an apple knocker?
Well, not exactly, my boy. But a short time ago, I was revolted when I served a dish of applesauce. The whole thing was full of hairs.
Full of hairs, huh? Well, maybe that was your fault. You didn't order your applesauce made from the right kind of apples.
Is there a certain kind of apple for making applesauce without hairs?
Why, certainly. Next time you order your applesauce, order it made from Baldwin's.
Baldwin's!
Frontier Town, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated broadcast from 1949. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LePounier. It's been a pleasure.